word may bless my heart, that I may speak, be a blessing. And these two verses came to mind immediately. Acts 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Preach the gospel. There's only one. There are many who preach another gospel, Paul said. But our Lord said, preach the gospel. And he that believeth the gospel and is baptized, confesses him, shall be saved. Not might be. Not will be if. No, no. So, I thought, okay, now where's a good example of preaching the gospel? He said, go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And I thought of Scripture where these apostles had gone out, like the Lord said, to preach the gospel. Well, 50 days later, Peter stood up to preach. And he preached the gospel. And they believed. And lo and behold, the Lord saved them. 3,000 of them. Thought I have my text. The gospel. What it is. Go to Acts chapter 2 now. And, you know, Paul wrote in Romans 10, whosoever shall call, he's quoting Joel 2, he said in Romans 10, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him if they haven't heard of Him? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And our Lord sent them to preach. He calls His preacher to preach. And they preach the gospel, and people hear it, and they believe, and they call, and they're saved. It's that simple. So here it is. This preacher stands up. Peter, and it's the day of Pentecost, verse 1 says, the day of Pentecost. The word Pentecost means 50 days, because it was 50 days after the Passover. Now that's significant. Every word is significant. I wish we had 2 hours, and I wish you had the capacity to sit here for 2 hours, but we don't. But the Lord Jesus Christ had just been crucified according to God's eternal purpose. The Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb. Listen to me. The Passover Lamb had just been crucified. He had offered Himself to God, a sin offering. This is the Passover Lamb, a burnt offering. He suffered the wrath of God, the fire, the hell of God, separation from God. His blood was shed for the remission of sins, of many, not all, but many, that God would pass over. He said, when I see the blood, whose blood? Not bulls and goats and lambs, not possible, but the blood of God's Son, when He had by Himself, with His own precious blood, and that blood was, as it were, when He hung on that cross, that blood was, as it were, applied to the doorposts and the lintels of every home of every one of His people. All His redeemed. And Pentecost, His blood was shed for His people, and God passed over because of Christ, passed over their sins. And I just preached the gospel to you. Now, when Pentecost was come, this is 50 days later, and Leviticus 23 is just Pentecost. Don't go there. But our Lord said this about Pentecost. Listen. He said, this day, this 50th day, will be to you a holy convocation.
Convocation means a calling out. A calling out. 50 days later, I'm going to call you out. The blood was shed. 50 days later, I'm calling you out. 50 days later, a man preaches the gospel. He called him out. The gospel is the call of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit calls by the gospel. And this day, 3,000 were called by the gospel. Our Lord said, this is the way, this is the power of God. This is how they're called. From darkness to light. From death to life. How shall they hear without a preacher? What the world calls foolishness, we know it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. And would to God the Holy Spirit would call one today out. Out of this world into His kingdom. God, please do it. The 11 apostles were with one accord in chapter 2. They were with one accord. They were together, one purpose. Glory of God, salvation of souls. Suddenly there came a mighty sound from heaven as wind, verse 2, appeared like tongues of fire, sat on each of them. Spirit of God, tongues of fire. What is this, preacher? Well, nobody really knows. But I'll tell you what God said, and God doesn't change. Same all through. He said, is not my word like a fire? Fire. So this, as it were, was, as it were, men filled with this fire. It's not this. I've told myself I wasn't going to comment too much on this false religion today. The choir, the fire. All this fire. So-called Holy Spirit fire. I'll say this much. It's like Abraham and Isaac going up that Mount Moriah. Young Isaac said to Abraham, here's the wood. Here's the fire. And that's religion today. You got the buildings, wood, hay, and stubble. You got the fire, so to speak. You got all this charisma and wildfire and carrying on and so forth and all that. But Isaac said, where's the lamb? You only need fire for one thing, to burn the lamb. You only need wood for one thing. Kindle a fire to burn the lamb. So this was, I don't know what it was, nobody. But I just know this, these men were filled with the Spirit of God. And verse 4 and 5, they began to speak with other tongues. That's languages, people. That's languages. We'll see that in this chapter. They spake with every language known to man. Verse 5, dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Every nation. Our Lord said this in Isaiah 28. He said, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Speak, preach. They were given these languages, did not have time to learn them, and God gave him a supernatural gift to speak, to preach the gospel immediately. That was the reason they were given. Paul goes into great detail of that and to the Corinthians. The only one reason for languages, to preach the gospel. And there's no language, he said, that's unknown. Not some ridiculous, well, you hear it today. You hear what's going on. See it. And the people, let me remind you, the people didn't hear this wind and the people didn't see this fire. The apostles did. What did the people hear? The gospel. What did the people fear? The wind, the Spirit of God. All right, God gave them these languages, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world, not just Jews, but a people out of every, Scripture says, every kindred and every tongue and nation, Revelation 5:9, and sent His Son to die for them, and men out to preach the gospel, that whosoever heareth this gospel and believeth on His Son and is baptized shall be saved. So God sent Peter and the others to preach the gospel. And God had chosen 3,000 persons. An exact number. Doesn't it say that? An exact number, like those fish in that net. 3,000 exactly. Because God had them numbered. And He chose 3,000 out of every nation to come to Jerusalem on this particular day to hear the gospel, to believe, to repent, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him in baptism, and be saved, and be put in, add to His church. Verse 6 and following. Now this was noised abroad, and they came from all over. They heard about this, and they all gathered together. Who gathered them? Who gathered these people together? Didn't have TV, didn't have radio, didn't have internet. How did everybody hear it? Are you serious? God? He said in Isaiah, I will say unto my sons, I'll say, give up. No, bring them. I'll bring them. And He did. They came, His elect. Now, verse 11, every one of them said, these fellows are from Galilee. These are Jews, born and raised around Galilee, fishermen, most of them. And they said in verse 11, we do hear them speak in our languages the wonderful works of God. We do hear them speak in our languages. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to quit talking about it. But you hear so-called Pentecostal preaching today. And you hear a lot of this going on. You'll see a fellow stand up, and some women stand up, and they start doing all this. It's another spirit. It's of the devil. It's not of God at all. It's a false spirit. They've got a lot of people fooled. But Paul said, evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's not of the Lord. It's all fake. It's all phony. Anybody can do that. Fake it. These fellows weren't doing this. They were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the Word of God. They were preaching the Old Testament Scriptures. And every person there heard them in their language clearly. What does it say they heard? The wonderful works of God. What's that? Election by the Father. Redemption by the Son. Regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The work, salvation is the work of God. His great work. You want to read it for yourself, read Psalm 145. The whole psalm is about the wonderful works of God. Every generation shall say to the next about the wonderful works of God. He redeemed them. He called them. He kept them. He fed them. The work of redemption, His greatest work. The work of salvation. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is of the Lord. Not of works. Not ours, but it is His works. And He preached the gospel. You're not talking about man's works. You're talking about God's works. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're in this together. The work of the triune God in saving sinners. This is the most wonderful work of all. And they all heard this to a man. The wonderful works of God. Now, they hadn't heard the gospel completely yet. All of it. Peter hadn't preached yet. But I tell you what, this preacher, Peter, had their attention. Peter stood up. And as I said, I believe he was probably a pretty imposing figure, old Peter, you know. Hear this! Okay. You know, Barnard came to town and, boy, spoke as one having authority, not like the scribes. And, boy, he got people's attention. John the Baptist did too, didn't he? Well, these men had their attention. Peter, this was no foolish preacher. These weren't a bunch of fools carrying on foolishness. These were wise men speaking the Word of God with wisdom and clarity and authority. My father-in-law, I'll remind you of this, my father-in-law was nobody's fool. He was a strong man, an independent man, a talented man, a man of authority himself. And he was religious. He attended one of these so-called Christian churches, and he was religious. And he had one of those mealy-mouthed, effeminate preachers, you know. That's what he had, a fellow who was a hireling. And try to make this story short. But the Lord made my father-in-law dissatisfied. He wasn't hearing anything. He wasn't hearing what he needed to hear. And somebody told him about Henry Mahan preaching the gospel. And he came and he brought his 9-year-old daughter and his two sons. And you know, before he ever heard anything, he sat and heard it and listened to it. And before he even heard or understood the truth, here's what his comment was. His comment afterwards was, "I don't understand what this man is saying. I don't understand. But this I know, he's preaching the Bible." And that impressed him. This is nobody's fool here. This is not some foolish fella preaching a bunch of foolishness. He's preaching the Word of God. And I don't understand a word he's saying. But I'm going to sit here until I do. And Stephen, one day, that spirit blew. I hear. Peter wasn't drunk. They weren't drunk. That's what they said about these mockers, some of these mockers. They're full of new wine. And I'm not going to comment on that because I saw some fellas on TV, well known. They were actually acting like they were drunk. Isaiah 29, you read that for yourself. It talks about the world and religion being drunk. Isaiah 29 says, they're the ones that are drunk, not God's people. Well, Peter, the day prophesied by Joel, verse 17, he quoted Joel, in the last days, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Verse 21, it'll come to pass, Joel said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 39, he says, the promises to you, your children, all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he's quoting Joel 2, the last verse, verse 32, which said, as many in Jerusalem and Israel and Jerusalem, into the remnant the Lord our God shall come. All right? The remnant. That's the elect. A remnant according to election. Whosoever shall call. For salvation is not by free will. It's by the will of God. It's not by us making a decision. It's by a decision God made before the world began. A determinate counsel. Peter's going to preach. And now I'm going to. All right, verse 22. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. A man. And they'd all heard of this man. Then and now. People all over the world, have they not all heard about the man named Jesus, haven't they? Yes, they have. All human beings, you could not find a human being on earth now that hasn't heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter said, there's a man named Jesus. But he's not just a man. But he was a man. And after this message, God is going to show 3,000 persons that that man is judge of the universe. That's what they're all going to see. And it's going to strike fear in them. 3,000 people are going to be struck with fear. At who? Not a man standing outside wanting in. Seated on a throne. And they're going to be the ones begging to get in. See, this is the Lord Jesus Christ of whom Scripture says, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. With an express purpose for certain people to do a certain work and finish that work and went back down and sat down and is expecting everything He did to come to pass. And it will and it shall. That's the Jesus Christ of Scripture. And it's life eternal to know this Christ. You're not going to bow. You're not going to believe. You're not going to call on somebody that's not your judge. I'm not going to do it. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, He said, a man approved of God. Now, people, contrary to what men say, God doesn't love people all over this earth. No, He doesn't. God's angry with the wicked. This is a fact. The wrath of God's revealed from heaven every day against all ungodliness and truth. Men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men who hold the truth, the Bible, or suppress it and keep it from the people. God's angry. Peter wrote about it, that the whole thing is reserved under fire. Not under the love of God. This world's not under the love of God. It's under the wrath of God. This is what Peter's preaching. This is a man approved of God. God doesn't approve of man. There's only one man ever lived God approved of. There's only one man who ever lived that God from heaven spoke out loud and said, I'm well pleased. Isaiah 42, I'm well pleased for His righteousness' sake. There's none righteous. He looked down to see if there were any. None. They're all a bunch of rebels. But not this man. Jesus of Nazareth. Who is He?
The Son of God. The Son of righteousness.
Why did He do this? Why did He come here? To be our righteousness. Sent by God for rebels. God was well pleased for His righteousness' sake. And God, when He walked this earth, God said out loud, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And He said, for all human beings, hear Him. Come to Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. I put all judgment in His hand. I've given all life into His hand. He's got the keys of hell and death at His side. He's got it. All mercy, all grace, all judgment in His hands. You better come to Him. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only Messiah. He's the only Christ. He's the only righteousness. He's the only mercy of God. He's the only one. I've vested everything in Him. I come to Him. I'll only receive you by Him. A man approved of God. He said He did things that no man could do by wonders and signs. Look at verse 23. It says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He being delivered by God, a predetermined council met before the world began. An eternal council. Thus the eternal council ran. The eternal council, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit purposed to save, not destroy every creature, but they deserved it. But no, God is merciful love. And only in Christ. He purposed to save some sinners, yea, many. He's so merciful. He purposed to save so many that you can't number them. We're going to see a sea of people. It'd be amazing if there are just two or three in heaven. But a number no man could number. Purposed. So he sent his son in this counsel of God down here to earth, purposing to save, and there's only one way that they can be saved. Can I tell it to you briefly one more time? This is maybe my last message, okay? God's holy. He will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sins must surely die. And us being saved from the punishment, the wrath of God, is not us accepting or believing, deciding or anything. It's Jesus Christ paying for our sins. His soul being made an offering for sin. So God sent His Son down to this earth, made of woman, made under the law that we broke, to redeem them that were under the law, to be made a curse for them. Because the law says you've broken it, you deserve to die, but Christ said, I'll take their death. I'll take their punishment. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and you pour out the blood, you're dead, and He poured out His blood. By His blood, He died, and His blood was payment for our sin, the sins of His people. Now, everyone that Christ died for has to go free. The justice of God demands it. God saw His Son's death and was satisfied. Saw His Son's life and was satisfied the law was kept. And God imputed that righteousness to these elect people and imputed and imparted their sin to Him, made Him to be sin for them and knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God. Where? How? In Him. And when you call on the name of the Lord, what you call on is the Lord your righteousness. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Right? This is what it means to call on the Lord. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. Christ does. Would you be my righteousness? I will. But my sins have to be... I bore your sin. Salvation is not by free will. It's God's will. Salvation is not by our choice. It's by God's predetermined will and purpose before the world began, sending His Son, who's called the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And when He hung on that cross, it was like that blood being applied to our doorpost and mantle, like I said. And verse 24, verse 23, He said, you did this, but you did what God determined to do. God determined before to be done. They killed the Lamb of God, observed for a long time to be without spot and blemish. And they crucified and slew Him. And people, we did too. We weren't there, but every single person in here. I don't know how long you ignored the Son of God. I don't know how long you were indifferent to it. I don't know how long you didn't care whether He lived or died. It's the same as crucifying. That's right. Paul one time said, I'm crucified to the world and the world's crucified to me, meaning I want it gone. I want it done away with. When they crucified Jesus Christ, they all thought we're done with Him. He's out it. We're done with Him. We don't want Him around anymore. And for us to ignore the gospel, however long we did, for us to be indifferent, young people, to be indifferent to the gospel, you're saying, I don't care if He lived or died. I don't care if He hung on the cross or not. You crucified Him. You crucified Him. And God says, you deserve for me to cast you out forever. I've done all this all your life for you, and you rarely give me a thought. And I send my son down here to die for the likes of you, and you could care less. We crucified him, all right. See that? Everyone in here. Everyone that doesn't believe right now. It's not ignorance. It's rebellion. It's saying, I don't care about Jesus Christ. That's a fact. Why should God care about us now? Isn't it amazing? This is amazing. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, and you, by wicked hands, crucified with wicked work, enemies of God.
But God, for His great love, wherewith He loved it. Even when dead, even when we didn't care,
finally quickened us. How? By the same gospel. Same gospel. Peter said this in verse 24, whom God hath raised up. That means more than just from death. Highly exalted. Raised him up, loosed the pains of death. Not possible he should be holding it. He went on to quote David in the Psalm 16. He didn't suffer his Holy One to see corruption. When Christ hung on that cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Which, ironically, the whole world is saying, my God, oh my God, aren't they? And someday the whole cast out unbelieving world is going to say collectively, crying out for mercy, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken us?
He's not going to hear them. Not going to hear them.
Today's the day of salvation. Today. This is not old-fashioned mountain scare you to death preaching. This is the gospel. This is what Peter was preaching. He said he didn't leave him in hell. And if we don't believe on him, love him, he'll leave us there. But he made known the ways of life, and he made known to his people the way of life. In verse 31, he said, David saw the resurrection of Christ. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Verse 33, being by the right hand of God exalted. By the right hand of God exalted. And having this promise, he sent the Holy Ghost. He's the one that sent the Holy Ghost. He said this in John 16. He said, when the Comforter has come, he'll convince the world. Not every person, but a people out of every tribe and kindred and tongue, nation. Of sin. This is what the gospel first does. Tell them about God's angry. Christ being made sin. Sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, that we don't have one and God demands it. And Christ is the only one that has it. The only one God will accept. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. You can't go there but by me. And of judgment, the prince of this world is judged, under whom we are dominion, under his dominion. But there's a stronger than he. Just call, set you free. Call you out. Verse 34. David is not ascended, but the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. You know, the high priest of old never sat down, did he? His work was never finished. Never finished. No chair in that temple. Never sat down and said, this man. All of Hebrews talks about this. Reckon it's important? We're so blessed. You know, our ears to hear. The world doesn't care. Who cares about Hebrews? You better care. You better have a high priest. There's only one. It says, when he had by himself purged our sins, when he finished this work, said it's finished on the cross, God raised him up and sent it, brought him back to glory where he came from. And he says, sit down. Psalm 2, sit down, son. Well done. You accomplished it. Salvation of our people that we purpose to save.
Sit down and don't get up. Reign. Sit on the circle of the earth. Reign and rule over everything and everyone. And I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. Everybody that rejected you, I'm going to bring them to your feet. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you're Lord to your glory. And some of these enemies,
I'm going to break down that enmity.
Some of these enemies, yea, many, I'm going to make your friend. I'm going to reconcile to you by the Spirit of God, by the preaching of the gospel. And they're going to come to you begging you for mercy, begging you for help, begging you for grace. And they're going to get it. They're going to call on me in your name. I'm going to receive every one of them. They call on me by you. Sit down. And there he sits. He's not outside our heart's door. That's another Jesus. He's not hoping. He's not wishing. Peter never said, there's no talk of love. He never said, God loves you, did he? He never said that. False preachers stand up and say that to crowds. He never said that. He never said Jesus died for you, did he? He never said that to all these people. God loves you. Jesus died for all of you. He did not say that. He just said he did this work, finished it, sat down, and Peter sat down. He didn't say, won't you accept him as your personal Savior? He never asked anybody to do anything. He didn't say God wants anything. He didn't say God's trying, God's wanting, God's hoping. He didn't say that. He said he's by his determinate counsel. He didn't say he's outside your heart's door. He didn't say now the Spirit of God is working and moving and while the choir sings. He did not say that, did he? He preached Christ, high and lifted up, a finished, exalted Savior, Lord, reigning and ruling with everybody in His hand. And He said in verse 36, the conclusion of His message, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, rejected, Lord and Christ. And He sat down. Message over. Now he's leaving. Where's my coat? There's no altar call. There's no soft music. There's no soul winners coming down front, leading people. That's phony. It's fake. This is Pentecostal preaching. What I'm doing right now. None of that stuff. He sat down. Now, you know what happened? Every one of those people, 3,000 of them, came to Peter, James, and John, Matthew, and said in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. You see what the heart man believes. The heart, he repents. Pricked in their heart. What about sin? They were pricked in their heart. They didn't care anything about the Son of God. And He came. And right now, they're in His hands to do with as He pleases. And they killed Him. And now they're in His hands. And He can save them. He can or destroy them. And their hearts, they're stabbed in their hearts. And they say, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Come to God. Repent toward God. Tell Him. I didn't care about you, son. Didn't care about you. I lived all my life. Thought I was good. I'm not. Repent. Repentance toward God. And be baptized. Faith in Christ. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hear what it says? Every one of them were.
If you believe, you must. Didn't the Lord say that? You can't be if you're not. Didn't He say that? But what? Why wouldn't you want to? Huh? You ashamed? He that believeth is not ashamed. The Lord said, I'll be ashamed of you. Who wouldn't? And they were baptized, confessing Him, saying that when Christ died and buried, was buried and rose again, I died and was buried, quickened by Him. When Christ died, He died in my place. When He was put in that grave, that's where I belong. And I hope to sit with Him, be seated with Him in the heavenly someday. It's all going to be by Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm here to tell the world, and being baptized, confessing Him, I'm here to tell the world that I want to be crucified to the world and the world to me, and that Christ is my only hope of salvation. And now I don't so much care about this world, but I now care about Christ. I want to be married to Him, be in His kingdom. That's baptism. And He says, your sins will be remitted. All of them. Gone. Blotted out. Erased. Never seen again. Now, isn't that amazing? And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's that? Well, much assurance. Assurance of what? Christ. That Christ died for such as you. That Christ came and He's your... The Holy Spirit will keep telling you. Keep preaching to you the gospel. Over and over and over again. When you go back to the law, the Holy Spirit, no. You're not made perfect by the law. You're made perfect by Christ. The Holy Spirit take the things of Christ. Keep showing them to you. Keep showing them to you. Show you your need of Christ, your interest in Christ, your righteousness in Christ. He'll keep showing you. And buddy, they'd be a 3,000 persons believed, repented, were baptized, and Peter closed by saying, verse 40, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It says they gladly received His word. That's it. Sin's gone. Just not do anything. Repent and confess it. Okay. And they gladly received His word and were baptized, every one of them. And they continued from that day forward to come. One time Peter and the boys preached in a place and to a bunch, at Ephesus, I think it was. And the whole city heard it, and the Jews turned again. We don't like that. When they started to leave, the whole city said, no, come back again. Come back. We'll hear these same words. They said, come back next Sunday, and we want to hear these same words again. The same gospel again. And all 3,000. That's how you know. It's the best news a sinner ever heard. Tell me again. Same old message. All right. We'll close and sing in what number, Brother John? 252. Let's sing. Just a couple of verses, please. 252, your choice.
First and third, you're called stand. 252.